Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where it has been rainy a little bit, but also a kind of sultry first day of summer, not as in the literal summer for the longest day of the year, but traditionally this marks the beginning of the summer because they open the swimming pools for kids. School is out nearly every place, and we are looking forward to a wonderful summer and one that will be particularly warm. And when it comes to political things, decidedly hot, especially for the Obama administration. Now, today is Memorial Day, and this is a day when we honor those who have fallen, those who have literally given the last full measure for our nation. And I think it's befitting that we have, that we open this solemn day with a prayer for our nation. And this is one that I've written and posted on Facebook, Twitter, and every place else. A Memorial Day prayer. Raise up men and women of character. Lord, where are your mighty men, your men of old, those who want to serve from a willing heart, never for sordid gain, exploiting the helpless and weak? Why are men like these missing from our public life? Where are the women of integrity and honor, women who would rather die than be disloyal to you? Why do we have to settle for representation that can do nothing more than lead by doing what seems expedient, seeking wisdom from polls rather than from your will? These miscreants smile reassuringly, always playing the role, but in their calculating hearts, nothing more than personal fame and fortune, all at our expense. Their duplicity is astounding as they seek an advantage over those they have sworn to serve and to protect. Lord, raise up a new generation of leaders, men and women who will bow their knees to you and you alone, never choosing evil over righteousness. Amen. That's a prayer that I wrote that I just thought that giving the solemnity of the day, I would read on the air. Richard, let me just say thank you for your service. You're a Navy man, and the Navy is the motto of the Navy. What is it? The first in harm's way. I like that. First in harm's way.
Yeah.
Pardon me? And for the Marine Corps, which is part of the Navy, always faithful. Those are things that we don't see much in our current nation with a president who bows to the King of Saudi Arabia. And is unwilling to stand up for our best interest with Vladimir Putin, who has armed Al-Qaeda and whines that Americans have guns, saying how bad they are, and yet he's willing to give automatic weapons to Al-Qaeda. That doesn't make sense to me, but perhaps it does to you. Do you see any sense on that?
No. No sense at all.
No sense at all. Well,
I wish he would start thinking the way a lot of the services do about you never leave a man behind. Because it seems to me that his motto now is, I didn't see that coming.
Either that or I need to cover my behind.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, in this particular time, it seems to me, now I could be wrong, and we've certainly been wrong before, that... What is happening is that, like Reverend Jeremiah Wright used to say about the chickens coming home to roost, that the consequences of what Obama has been doing are beginning to come home to roost. And there are some things other than the special committee for Benghazi that are also happening. For example, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Judicial Watch, the ones that got the documents released about Benghazi, tying the whole thing to the White House, and then also several other things, has a lawsuit against the president and Eric Holder concerning Fast and Furious. Did you know that?
No.
Here's what the lawsuit says. It says that, now you remember they were getting really close with Fast and Furious. And remember, Benghazi isn't the only place where we lost people. I mean, we lost a border agent to guns,
yeah,
that went over to the Mexican drug lords and that were used in a firefight where we had a DEA agent murdered.
It were our guns that the Mexican cartel had. Yes.
Yes. Provided by this alleged sting operation, the purpose of which was to show how bad guns were so that they could try and abrogate the Second Amendment and take them away from American citizens. Okay, all of that being said, the investigation into what happened and how high it went got to the point where President Obama claimed executive privilege to prevent the investigation from going any further, and it worked. It just got stopped, beep, dead in the water. Well, Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit saying that presidential privilege does not extend to cabinet members like Eric Holder. It's only the president. And executive privilege does not include covering up misconduct and crimes. Now, they've argued their case, and the decision is forthcoming and will be very soon. Now, if that happens and the documents that they are seeking are released, literally all hell is going to break loose because this was a scheme to get around the Second Amendment and take Americans' guns away from them, which, I want to tell you something. If you take a lot of things away from Americans, but if you think you're going to take guns away from them, you got another thing coming. And I don't care, what kind of force is brought against some of these Americans. They will stand up and fight against our own government, against our own military, against police, against militia, against the citizen army of Obama and everything, they will not give up their guns. Now, they shouldn't give up their guns. It's, you know, that's their, it's their constitutional right not to. So, and that right is inalienable, granted to us by God and not by the President of the United States, Barack Obama. So that is going to be a big deal. And if those documents are released, if they shred them or things like that, it doesn't work because, you know, everything that you do, I mean, you can delete everything that you want off of your computer. I mean, you know, the FBI can go in and pull it all back. I mean, once it's there, it's there. You can't get rid of these things. People try, and if they do and they try and cover their tracks like that, then that is obstruction of justice, and people go to jail for that all the time. That's essentially what happened with Nixon, is that, you know, he erased 6 minutes of those tapes. That's what actually got him, you know, the thing that really nobody could stomach was him, you know, just saying, well, you know, you got 30 hours of tapes. What else do you want? We want the missing 6 minutes. And, it's the same thing with Obama, with Benghazi documents and with the IRS documents. They said, we've given you 20,000 documents. What do you want? We want the ones that you've redacted to where they're nothing but, you know, a piece of paper with, you know, black marks on them. We want to know what that says. And we want them all. We want it all. And, you know, they're just trying to run out the clock of the Obama administration. And they've done a fairly good job. I mean, he's 5 years, almost six into it, 5.5 years. And some of these things go all the way back to, you know, to the first of it. And, the stuff with the IRS is it's astounding. I think they're going to, you know, as that investigation goes forward, and here's the thing. Because Benghazi has a special committee, the ability to subpoena and get evidence from witnesses is going to be very great. And it's not going to fare well for the Obama administration. Now, because congressmen are the way they are, Daryl Issa is, you know, he's got his little, he's got a little burr in his britches because, you know, all the limelight is going away from him and the Government Overlook Committee. So what's he doing? He's just doubling down on this IRS thing. And his investigation now is extending to where it's, you know, several senators. Have been tied to say we need to criminally prosecute Tea Party people for their ideas. Michigan and Schumer from New York. And it's a big deal. Those guys are vulnerable. They're advocating and have asked, and they've got documents to show that they're asking a governmental agency to criminalize ideas. Well, that's our First Amendment right to speech. And criminalizing Tea Party people, who are Tea Party people? I mean, they're people that are patriotic. That's it. They're people that want to, you know, that want the restoration of the Constitution, that want our elected officials to abide by the rule of law. Now, we're not involved in Tea Party activities, you and me, but that's what we believe, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we have a rule of law from the time we were kids. We were taught we are not a nation of men, led by men, but a nation of law, that we are ruled by law. It makes us better than any other nation. I believed that from the time I was in the second grade, first time I could understand it. And I was proud to be an American. I've never not been proud to be American, have you?
No. No. There's been a few times when I questioned, like, Michelle Obama, when she said that this was the first time that she was proud to be an American. And I thought that was a very strange comment to be made by, I think she was first lady-elect at the time, wasn't she?
Yes. It was when Obama won.
Yeah. She
spent her whole life in America, not proud to be an American. She was a lawyer, you know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they took away her law license for ethical violations, which really is exactly what happened to Hillary. She had her law license revoked by Democrats during the Watergate scandals for ethical violations of her own. She hasn't been able to, you know, I mean, Michelle Obama had to surrender her law license or face prosecution, so she surrendered it. You know, Hillary lost her job for ethical things. But ethics don't seem to count for a lot of people. You know,
how many people do you think actually that piece of information? I guarantee you, if you said everybody in America is 100%, that under 5% would know that.
I know it. It's and of course, where Hillary Clinton's concerned, I mean, she lost her law license 40 years ago. That's a long time. I mean, she's spent a whole career, you know, with this being besmirched by ethics. But, of course, that's not the worst that she's done, and I think that this is all going to come out. I mean, this is the same time I marvel at some things. Last year, the last time that Barack Obama had a positive approval rating, where there were more people that approved of what he was doing than disapproved, was June 8th of last year. We're almost on a solid year of where he's been in negative numbers. The highest he was down was a little over 16%. Now he's only down just a little bit under 8%. That's amazing to me, isn't it, you?
Yeah, just with everything that's going on. But you know what's amazing too, though, Jack, is that I deal when I go to the gym, I deal with a lot of these younger trainers, and I just ask them some simple questions, like, do you know what's going on at the VA? Do you know what this special group that they put together from Benghazi? And these guys and gals both look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about, no idea whatsoever. They just don't know what's going on around them.
Well, it's they're oblivious. Yeah, you know, thinking back I can remember that I didn't, you know, I mean, I remember when Kennedy was assassinated and thinking, unbelievable. And then I remember when MLK was assassinated and Bobby Kennedy, and it was like the whole world was turning upside down, and we had the Vietnam War. I mean, I voted for Nixon, and yet he turned out to be not what I'd hoped for sure. Then, in my foolishness as a young man, I voted for Jimmy Carter in 1976 because, you know, he was a Christian and he was for hope and change and had that smile, and he was from Georgia. And, you know, he turned out to be the worst president we had ever had, you know, at that time. And yet, he tried. He just was incompetent. He wanted to be a good president. He put in the effort, but he didn't know what he was doing, and he had a worldview that, you know, that, and he was weakling. He dismantled the military just from day one, even though he went to West Point, to the point where, when the Rangers tried to rescue the hostages from Iran, we didn't have a helicopter that could work. They crashed in the desert. To not have the equipment for Rangers, which is the Army equivalent of SEALs. These guys are studs. I mean, they are studs. You see a platoon of Rangers, I mean, my goodness, it's an awesome sight. But we didn't have the military, we didn't have the equipment. They didn't use it. They used things for money for everything other than the military. Reagan came in, and there was no weapon he didn't like. He loved weapons. God love him. And he outspent the Soviets to the point where it broke their economy. That's why the Soviet Union fell apart, is that we outspent them on military. So we're the strongest nation in the world again. And, you know, Bush comes in, the older, and, you know, does Desert Storm, and in a few days just absolutely just, you know, rips a hole in Saddam Hussein, who'd invaded Kuwait in Desert Storm, and, you know, here we are, the heroes of the world. Clinton comes in and he wants to dismantle the military again, you know, and so, you know, we have Mogadishu, and, you know, makes it tough. George Bush comes in, increased the military, but he got us involved in two wars. And the truth of the matter is, and let's just be honest about this, Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. Going to war in Iraq as a result of what happened with 9/11 was going after the wrong people. You know, it'd be, you know, the equivalent of attacking the Chinese after Pearl Harbor. Wrong folks. They may have been a communist nation, you know, well, they actually weren't even communists at that time. But at any rate, you know, it would be I can't think of a really good example. So he got us involved in two wars. And we haven't been able to extricate ourselves, you know, from the second one. I mean, you know, Iraq, he finally got it taken care of, mostly. And at the same time, you know, it's hard to see that what we have as a result was worth what we did. And I, you know, I, I've I don't get the, you know, Afghanistan period. I mean, the Russians invaded Afghanistan, and they're, you know, Afghanistan has a contiguous border. And, you know, the Russians finally left. They couldn't defeat these crazy Muslims and the Taliban and all of that. I mean, they're just, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes to just survive. And, you know, and we haven't done much better. We've been there all these years. And the second that we finally leave, the Afghanistan will be controlled by the Taliban again.
And, Jack, you only have a few minutes left this week, and I think because a lot of people listen to you here, there, and everywhere, that you might want to give a little bit of a review on what happened with Mitch, because we had him on so many times, and at this point, especially in Georgia, where do we go and who are we looking to support?
Well, there were six people running. Mitch came in fifth. His ideas have done real well, and people are picking up on some of the ideas. So that has been a really positive thing. There's a runoff, and actually either one of the two would be fine. The real key in Georgia is defeating Michelle Nunn, who is a progressive. She's just literally an Obamaite, and a state like Georgia has no business having a senator like that. We're having a runoff between Jack Kingsley and a businessman named David Perdue, either of which would be a very formidable candidate for Michelle Nunn, but they're trying to depict her as, you know, just like her father, who was the chairman of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate years ago, and you know, just a really solid, would make a really solid, great senator. She'd end up being like a Feinstein or Boxer or Landrieu.
Or Pocahontas.
Not much. Oh, yeah, just absolutely. So that is a disaster. You know, the Senate races are key. There are quite a few of them up for grabs. They, you know, in real clear politics, the Republicans have 47 and the Democrats 46 as far as how they're running right now, and the rest are all up for grabs. So if the Republicans get 51, then Harry Reid, we can throw his sorry rear end out of leadership. If the Democrats get 50, because the vice president would be the deciding vote as the president of the Senate, Harry Reid stays. So it's important to get all of these Democrats out. So at any rate, this is where we are, and some things are very victorious and some things aren't. The Red Sox have a 10-game losing streak and have gone from the best team in baseball to the worst in a matter of months. C'est la vie. You know, it's kind of like the weather. If you don't like it, just wait a day. It's going to change. At any rate, this is Memorial Day, and we're very proud of those who have served our nation and have given their lives that we can talk freely on this radio program. Bless you for your sacrifice. And God bless the rest of it. And we will talk to you next week. Thank you.